from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, online streaming voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello, VOI listener. How are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz and RRI Digital Mobile App.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the main points. Presiden Prabowo Subianto says Indonesian peaceful regional elections a sign of political maturity. Indonesian government committed to increasing national palm oil products. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto assessed that the implementation of the 2024 simultaneous regional head elections was peaceful, a sign of maturity in society, state, and politics. The president made his remarks at the Bank Indonesia Annual Meeting 2024, theme Synergy to Strengthen National Economic Stability and Transformation in Jakarta on Friday. President Prabowo also expressed his gratitude to all parties who have worked hard in the success of the five-yearly democratic event. He stressed that the process of changing regional heads is a normal thing, yet he advised against excessive euphoria and reminded the importance of being mature for all parties, both those who won the election and those who have not succeeded. For those who win, the main responsibility is to work for the benefit of the entire community, he said, while for those who lose, must continue to support the winning party in working for the people. The Indonesian government is committed to increasing the volume of national palm oil production for 40% biodiesel or B40. Later, the mandatory 40% biodiesel program will still be implemented starting January 1, 2025. The commitment was conveyed by Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Erlangga Hartarto at the 12th ministerial meeting of the Council of Palm Oil Producing Countries in Jakarta on Friday. According to Minister Erlangga Hartarto, Indonesia will save around 32 million tons of CO2 and for B40 more than 40 million tons of CO2. He also considered this as Indonesia's concrete contribution to the whole world. On the same occasion, Malaysia's Minister of Agriculture and Commodities, Datuk Seri Johari Abdul Ghani, assessed that palm oil or CPO will always be a commodity needed in the world. Therefore, Indonesia and Malaysia, as the main producers of CPO, have an important role to play in ensuring a more sustainable palm oil industry. Meanwhile, President Director of the Palm Oil Head Plantation Fund Management Agency of Indonesia, Edi Abdurrahman, pointed out that the mandatory biodiesel program has proven to be able to maintain the stability of palm oil prices while supporting the government's downstream program. Indonesian Minister of Manpower Yasir Lee conveyed programs rolled out by the current government will have an impact on employment. At the Presidential Palace in Jakarta on Friday, he explained that the aqua farming program that has been running is also expected to be able to absorb labor, thus reduce unemployment in Indonesia. He added that related to the high unemployment rate among Generation Z, the government will indeed make more serious efforts to overcome the matter. According to him, the president has given special directions to the Ministry of Manpower to immediately prepare workers for the tourism sector. Indonesian Deputy Minister of Environment Dias Hendro Priyono pointed out that the housing sector can contribute to reducing gas emissions through the use of plastic waste-based building materials. Dias Hendro Priyono in Jakarta on Friday also called on various companies, including startups, to utilize plastic waste into building materials such as bricks to cement. Therefore, it is able to present a more environmentally friendly house. A number of efforts, according to him, need to be made by various parties to spend or utilize plastic waste. He has also said that not only the transportation sector has to transform towards zero emissions, but also the housing sector. Through the use of waste, it is expected to help solve the waste problem. Sweden has sent a formal request to China to cooperate with an investigation into suspected sabotage over the sudden disruption of two submarine internet cables in the Baltic Sea earlier this month after tracking data linked a China ship to the incident. As quoted by CNN.com on November the 29th, Swedish Prime Minister Ulf Kristersson conveyed Sweden has sent a formal request to China to cooperate with Swedish authorities in order to create clarity on what has happened. Kristersson also pointed out that Sweden has asked for the Chinese ship to return to Swedish waters in order to aid its investigation. The vessel is currently anchored in international waters in the Kattegat Strait between Denmark and Sweden. The two cables, one named Aurelian, which links Finland and Germany, and the other named Sea Lion 1, connecting Sweden and Lithuania, were severed within 24 hours of each other on November the 17th and 18th. King Abdullah University of Science and Technology, or KAUST, in Saudi Arabia signed an agreement on Thursday with the King Salman Center for Disability Research aimed at enhancing collaboration between the two parties in diagnosing, managing, and treating disabilities. As quoted by ArabNews.com, agreement was signed in King Abdullah Economic City by Prince Sultan bin Salman bin Abdul Aziz, special advisor to King Salman and chairman of the Board of Trustees of the King Salman Center for Disability Research and KAUST President Professor Edward Bain. Vietnam has made substantial progress and become a bright spot globally in HIV/AIDS prevention and control, Minister of Health Dan Huong Len said at a meeting in Hanoi on Friday to mark World AIDS Day on December the 1st. As reported by VOVworld.vn, Vietnam is among the global leaders in HIV treatment qualities, he said, adding that more than 97% of HIV carriers receiving antiretroviral therapy now have viral loads suppressed below detectable levels. Effective models and initiatives on HIV/AIDS prevention service delivery have contributed to keeping HIV prevalence in the community below 0.3%, steadily advancing toward the 95-95-95 goals set forth in the National Strategy on Ending AIDS by 2030. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia.
The first item in the news from across Indonesia comes from Bali province. Bali has once again won a prestigious award. Bali was named the world's most romantic destination at the 2024 World Travel Awards. Bali beat 8 competitors, including the Maldives. This marks the first time Bali has received the award for the world's most romantic destination at the World Travel Awards. As reported by VN Express in previous years, the title of most romantic destination was held by other famous places in the world, such as Seychelles, Mauritius, and the Maldives. Bali is famous for its natural scenery, beautiful beaches, traditional culture, rich history, and ancient temples, making it a favorite among tourists around the world. In October 2024, Bali was recognized as the most beautiful island in Asia by readers of the U.S. magazine Condé Nast Traveler in its Readers' Choice Awards. The World Travel Awards, founded in 1993, celebrate excellence in the travel and tourism industry and have been called the Oscars of the travel industry. Winners for the World Travel Awards are determined by votes cast by travel professionals and the public. The next news comes from Yogyakarta. The 2024 Indonesian Intangible Cultural Heritage Festival was officially closed on Thursday, November the 28th. The activity held by the Indonesian Ministry of Culture starting November the 23rd at the Frederberg Fort Museum, Yogyakarta City, seeks to introduce as many as 13 Indonesian intangible cultural heritage that have been acknowledged by the UN Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization or UNESCO. They are Wayang Arts Keris, Batik, Batik Education and Training, Angklung, Saman Dance, Nokenbek, Three Balinese Dance Genres, Pinisi Ship, Pencak Silat Tradition, Pantun, Gamelan, and Jamu Healthy Culture. In addition to presenting cultural performances and exhibitions, the 2024 Indonesian Intangible Cultural Heritage Festival also held seminars and workshops involving cultural activists, academic students, and the international community. During the week, the Ministry of Culture also presented a variety of arts and cultural performances, starting from children's creative dance performances to modern traditional music bands. The last item in the news from across Indonesia comes from Sigi Regency, Central Sulawesi Province. The Sigi Regency Government, Central Sulawesi, has confirmed its readiness to host the 2024 National Coffee Festival at the paragliding tourist location in Wayu Village, West Marawala District. The Regional Secretary of Sigi Regency, Nuim Hayat, in Bora on Thursday, November the 28th, said that the National Coffee Festival will be held for 3 days from December 13th until 15th, involving all regional apparatus and the local community. According to him, the 2024 National Coffee Festival can be used to introduce coffee from Sigi so that it can improve the economy of the community, especially coffee farmers. He hopes that the 2024 National Coffee Festival can be a strategic forum to promote the potential of local Sigi coffee to the national and even international levels while encouraging regional economic growth through the tourism and agricultural sectors. That was news from across Indonesia.
Oh.
I begin today in history with the events of November 30, 1957 about Sukarno's assassination attempt. On November 30, 1957, there was an assassination attempt on the first Indonesian president, Sukarno. The incident occurred when Sukarno attended the anniversary of Perguruan Cikini in central Jakarta, where his children went to school. When Sukarno was leaving the location, a violent explosion was heard in the schoolyard, which came from a grenade. Sukarno and his children, Guntur and Megawati, survived. However, 10 people died and 48 others suffered injuries. It is known that the incident as the Cikini tragedy was masterminded by DITII rebels. Let's move on to the event of 1966 about Barbados Independence Day. Quoting the National Today page, Barbados celebrates its Independence Day every November 30. Barbados has been independent since November 30, 1966, after being ruled by Britain for more than 360 years. Barbados independence was marked by the lighting of parliament buildings and office buildings throughout Bridgetown. Despite Barbados' independence from the UK, the island retained the British monarch as head of state, represented by the Governor-General until 2021. On November 30, 2021, Barbados became a republic and replaced Queen Elizabeth II with President Sandra Mason. Today in history with the commemoration of National Personal Space Day. Launching the National Today page, 13 November is also celebrated as National Personal Space Day. This day aims to honor and appreciate the need for personal space. The establishment of National Personal Space Day was initiated by the For the Love of Peach Foundation, founded by a public health specialist, Carol Winner, in 2015. Various activities that can be done are taking a day to understand yourself and reflect on what you have done so far. On this day, you can also attend seminars about the importance of taking care of yourself, especially from physical and psychological illnesses. That's today in history from Voice of Indonesia.
Resah dan gelisah menunggu di sini, di sudut sekolah tempat yang kau janjikan ingin jumpa denganku walau mencuri waktu. Berdusta pada guru, malu aku malu pada semut merah yang berbaris di dinding menatapku curiga seakan penuh tanya. Sedang apa di sini? Menanti pacar jawabku. I'm kisah paling indah, kisah kasih di sekolah. Pada semut merah yang berbaris di dinding menatapku curiga, seakan penuh tanya, sedang apa di sini? Menanti pacar jawabku. Masa-masa di sekolah, tiada kisah paling indah, kisah kasih di sekolah.
Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on Indonesian national standards to maintain the quality safety of fishery products. Director General of Strengthening the Competitiveness of Marine and Fishery Products of the Indonesian Ministry of Marine Affairs and Fisheries, Budi Sulistio, in Jakarta on Thursday said as many as 172 Indonesian national standards were produced to maintain the quality and safety of fishery products. He explained they were produced by the Technical Committee 6505 Fishery Products, which are under the coordination of the Directorate General and can be utilized by business actors, testing laboratories, academics, and the government. Budi Sulistio also said his staff continues to actively participate in the development of international standards for fishery products. The Technical Committee 6505 has a scope not only to prepare the draft of Indonesian national standard for fishery products, but also includes standards testing methods, sensory analysis, water for industrial use, and microbiology in general. The application of the standards, in addition to maintaining the quality and safety of fishery products, also to increase consumer confidence. Not only that, the application of the standard to fishery products is also to guarantee the nutrition contained in it. Quoting the Antara report, the Ministry of Marine Affairs and Fisheries has won the Herudi Technical Committee Award 2024, organized by the National Standardization Agency, for its contribution to the development of fishery product standards. It is an event for appreciation and awarding to the Technical Committee for the formulation of the Indonesian national standard and its development figures who have performed well and contributed to the development of the standards. Previously, Minister of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Sakti Wahyu Trenggono said, "The right touch of innovation will be able to create competitiveness of national marine and fisheries products and encourage an advanced and sustainable Indonesian fisheries industry." Well, that was my Indonesia today.
Batu lautan berhiu ku lalui, mendapatkanmu, memeluk hatimu.
dalamnya samudra luas angkasa ku arungi menunjukkanmu menaklukkanku selalu. Cinta ini satu tak akan terbagi untukmu selama darahku belum membeku. Hembusan nafasmu runtuhlah sang ragu jiwaku tak pernah mampu menduakanmu takkan sanggup mendustakanmu. Tapi rasa cemburu membutakan akalmu hingga kau harus pergi. Beri aku satu hari untuk menikmati, biar ku nikmati sebelum kau pergi. Beri aku satu hari untuk menikmati, biar ku nikmati sebelum kau pergi.
Thank you for joining us, the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next, we present information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom on Indonesian Wonder.
Listeners, Ranu Regolo is a 15-hectare natural tourism attraction with the lake surrounded by hills in Bromo Tengger National Park. Ranu Regolo is precisely located in Ranupani Village, Sendero Sub-District, Lumajang District, East Java. Ranu Regulo is located at 2100 meters above the sea level. Therefore, the temperature in this lake is very cool, even tends to be cold. While the lake area itself is only 0.7 hectares, therefore it is a small part of the Bromo Tengger Semeru National Park. Ranu Regulo is also known as an alternative lake for those who cannot climb Mount Semeru. The lake itself has the exoticism of turquoise water and is also very clear. The aesthetic beauty of the lake is indeed very enchanting and makes anyone wants to visit it. Ranu Regulo is open for 24 hours every day. Here, you can also camp while enjoying the beauty of the lake. The entrance ticket price for Ranu Regulo for foreign tourists on weekdays is 21,000 rupiahs, while on holidays the ticket price is 310 rupiahs, including insurance. This lake is not friendly for swimming activities because the lake water is quite deep and the water temperature is also very cold. In the morning, you can see the reflection of the rising sun, which causes the color of the lake surface to turn golden. You can also take pictures with a view of the fog. For that, early in the morning, you can have to be at the lake, because at the same time the lake surface will look smoky because of the fog, and slowly the fog will disappear and replace the golden color of the lake water. Staying in a tent around the lake is also fun, but you must bring your own equipment such as tents, sleeping mats, jackets and others, because at the night the air will become colder. The beauty of the lake at night is also very enchanting. In the morning you can enjoy the sunrise with views of the hills and green trees that are very beautiful. What should be noted when visiting this Ranu Regulo tourist spot is you must bring your own supplies, because it will be difficult to find a place to eat here. Listeners, if you have a holiday in Indonesia, especially around East Java, choose Ranu Regulo, which is under the supervision of Bromo Tengger Semeru National Park, as your holiday destination. Because besides being able to enjoy the beauty of Ranu Regulo, you can also enjoy Ranu Peni, Ranu Kumbolo, Ranu Tompe, and Ranu Darungan in the vicinity.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
You are still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present to you Miscellany. Listeners, welcome back to the weekend edition of Miscellany, a program that always presents information on Indonesia's achievement in the national and global stage. This time, we present the innovation of the Saltator S2219 students of Bangka Belitung State Manufacturing Polytechnic, or Polman Bubble, who successfully won the Fun Race category in the Prototype and Fast Ship Innovation Competition at the PESIAR 2024 event. Carrying the theme Sea Transportation Innovation for the Safety of National Maritime, PESIAR 2024 competition was held at Hasanuddin University, Makassar, South Sulawesi, in November 2024. According to the organizing committee, Dea Amelia, this competition was motivated by the increasing number of sea accidents in Indonesia, which reached 128 incidents in 2017 to 2023. One of the main causes is the construction of ships and maritime infrastructure that doesn't comply with the regulations and standards set by the government. For this reason, this event encourages students to present solutions through innovative ship designs that prioritize safety aspects. Saltator S229 team, consisting of Ramanda Aditya, Rian Ardiansyah, and Anugrah Al-Hafiz, answered the challenge with a prototype of a fast boat with an aerodynamic and energy-efficient design. Besides being innovative, they were supported by a hard-working spirit and full guidance from their lecturer Oxirendi. This combination was the key to their victory in the prestigious competition. Well, listener, that's today's Miscellany from Voice of Indonesia.
Like a small boat on the ocean, sending big waves into motion, like how a single word can make a heart open. I can make an explosion, and all those things I didn't say were wrecking balls inside my brain. I will scream loud tonight. Can you hear my voice this time? This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Prove I'm alright song. My power's turned up. Stop it right now. I'll be strong. Everybody's worried about me. In too deep, I say I'm in too deep. In too deep. And it's been 2 years, I miss my home. But there's a fire burning in my bones. Still believe, yeah, I still believe. And all those things I didn't say, wrecking balls inside my brain. I will scream. Sending big waves.
into motion, like how a single word can make a heart open. I might only have one match, but I can make an explosion. This is my fight song. Take back my life.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, on this edition of Music Corner, I'm going to present a keroncong song entitled Tua Tua Keladi by Keroncong Atap. Tua Tua Keladi is indeed a song that is synonymous with Anggun Cipta Sasmi, or known as Anggun. This song by Teddy Sujaya and Pamungkas NM is one of the songs which skyrocketed Anggun's name in Indonesia in 1990s. The song, which was released in 1990, describes an old man who is still eyeing teenage girls, while the man already has a wife, children, and even grandchildren. Well, listener, here is the keroncong version of Tua Tua Keladi by Keroncong Atap. Enjoy!
Kata-katanya selangit, tersenyum penuh. Matanya membuat ngeri. Semua
Voice of Indonesia.
Take me back to the night we met.
DIY listener, thank you so much for listening the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Send your feedback to our email, voilisteners@gmail.com, voilisteners@gmail.com, or to our social media, Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at voi_official. I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.